Okay, we'll get started the class here this morning again. Ephesians chapter 4, which we'll pick up from last week. And as we're kind of reviewing a touch there, we spent quite a few weeks on the last five verses that prior to this, 11 through 16. And looked at how, you know, the purpose of apostles, prophets, evangelists, elders, and teachers to equip the saints to the work of service, and the bodies growing up together, and we kind of talked about that. And so Paul's going to shift gears a little bit here. I mean, on the same, obviously the same principle, but he's going to look at it a little different way, as in what they used to be. They're not that way anymore. So Ephesians chapter 4, someone want to say or read verse 17.
Jesus, I say, and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind.
Okay, so Paul says something interesting that we might not catch right on the surface there. But he says, this I say to you, you know, you do not walk no longer just as the Gentiles. And how he says that, even when you go look back in the Greek, when he's saying that, he's distinguishing the Ephesians as not Gentiles, is what he's saying there. But let's look back in chapter 2 of Ephesians. Chapter 2. And let's read, someone want to read verse 11 through 13 of Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, so you see there that the Ephesians, and obviously, you know, we're looking at some of the geographical area and stuff, the Ephesians were Gentiles. And he's talking there in verse 11, you were formerly Gentiles in the flesh, though, he says. You were formerly Gentiles in the flesh, you were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. We talked a little bit about this before in the sermon when Paul in Galatians writing that I was charged with the gospel, preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, and Peter to the circumcised. That's basically another way of saying Jews and Greeks, or Jews and Gentiles. Okay, so when you're looking at that, when using that language with Jews and Gentiles, the Jews were the nation of Israel, physically speaking, and Gentiles meant everyone else. Okay, all the other nations. And so when he's saying there that the Ephesians were physically Gentiles, they were Gentiles in the flesh. They were not Jewish prior to becoming Christians, unlike where Peter would preach to those who, in Acts 2, they were Jewish prior to becoming Christians, okay? But he says, you were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. See, and so that even tells us a little bit there that Paul, the circumcision that he was talking about there, the so-called circumcision, were those who were circumcised in the flesh. Circumcision, you're either circumcised or you're not. It's not so-called, unless he's talking something spiritual. That's what he's saying there. You are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. Even though they're circumcised in the flesh, as we'll see in a second here, they weren't ever circumcised in the heart. And so when we go back to Ephesians 4 there, the way that Paul says that, therefore, in verse 17, this I say therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. So he's the way he says that, he is basically, he's calling them not Gentiles. Don't walk as the Gentiles walk. Well, they were Gentiles of the flesh. No, he's talking spiritually here. He's saying, don't walk like the spiritual Gentiles. So now, we are on the kind of like our scripture reading, a lot of things we're going through. There's a lot of foreshadow in that. So it's something, obviously the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, was a foreshadow a picture that wasn't quite of what Jesus is. Jesus is our sacrificial lamb. Okay, so this is another one of those foreshadows, if you will. The physical Jews and the Gentiles is a foreshadow of spiritual Jews and spiritual Gentiles. See, the so-called circumcision weren't really circumcised in the heart. So really, they're spiritual Gentiles. Yeah, they boasted in their flesh. So we're Abraham's children. When they were telling Jesus in John 8, you know, they're Abraham's our father. Even John the Immerser, when he's preaching, he says, "Who warned you? You can't just fall back on that. Oh, Abraham's our father." That's boasting in the flesh. That's what he's saying. You're not going to get by it with that. And so there's this transition when we get to the New Covenant, the New Testament, this transition there's times when it's talking about the circumcised and the uncircumcised, when it's talking physically. And we have to let the context dictate that. But a lot of times when it's talking, as in this case here, the Gentiles he's talking about is those who are outside of Christ. Because the Ephesians were Gentiles physically, but he's saying that in a way that don't walk as the Gentiles do. Because he didn't consider them Gentiles spiritually. They were spiritually Jews. Turn over to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And I kind of made some of these points a little bit before here, but we're kind of look at what the scripture, how Paul words this here in Romans 2. Someone want to read 28 and 29, please.
Circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God.
Okay, so Paul says that about as good as anything there. I mean, obviously, the Holy Spirit is explaining here what he's talking about, that the Jew... He who is not a Jew, who is one outwardly. So that's when we see that Paul says in Ephesians, you are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. They were circumcised in the flesh. They were circumcised outwardly. But Paul is saying here in Rome, or in Romans here, that he who is not a Jew is one who he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. Yes, there's circumcision of the flesh, but he's saying that doesn't profit anything. You go to Galatians chapter 6, go to other parts where it talks about that circumcision, it's not neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is not an issue anymore. That's why in Acts 15, when those people, those Jewish Christians, they were Christians at one time anyway, they were trying to say you had to be circumcised according to the law of Moses or else they couldn't be saved. And when they had the council at Jerusalem after that, they were hitting the idea. It's not something that's outward. Titus wasn't even compelled to be circumcised, is what he said. What Paul writes in Galatians about that particular subject. He wasn't compelled to be circumcised in the flesh to do some. Well, Timothy, on the other hand, was circumcised in the flesh not because of a religious reason, but because that was how he could maybe reach someone in that, how the opportunity that he had, that was a benefit to him. Because if you weren't circumcised, the Jews didn't associate with you. That's what it was. They didn't associate. And so that's what was a benefit with Timothy, where Titus, on the other hand, wasn't circumcised because of, really, I don't want to say in spite, but in some ways it was in spite of the deal. Because Paul specifically Titus wasn't circumcised, because if he was, it would have been caving into the idea that you had to be circumcised in the flesh to be saved. Now, if we continue in verse 29, that you do have to be circumcised, but it's not of the flesh. In verse 29 of Romans 2 there, that's what he says. He is a Jew who is one inwardly. The circumcision that is which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. So you see, when you're circumcised of the flesh, the praise came from men. circumcised of the heart, the praise comes from God. And that's what he is saying there when he is talking about that. Notice one thing he says there, circumcision of the heart by the Spirit. And we've talked a little bit about this before, and it kind of goes a little bit to understanding why in the song this morning, like I've kind of had the idea of changing the word Trinity to deity. Because I don't like the word Trinity, because to me that is a picture of three God. It gives the wrong picture that there's three gods that are unified. But deity is one God, but of three sources, I guess, if you will, making up one God. Like our body is made up of body, soul, and spirit, and I exist because I have life in me. I have a physical body and I have a soul. That's why I exist. If you take one away, I don't exist. So if you take Jesus away from deity, the deity doesn't exist. If you separate it. And the world is kind of separated that. When you have the circumcision of the heart, which is in the authority of the Spirit, which is the same as saying in the authority of Jesus, or in the authority of the Father, or in the authority of the one who raised Jesus from the dead. Whatever name you want to give, I mean, there's different names. It's not uncommon for God to have multiple names. It doesn't mean that there's multiple gods. There's multiple names. So this circumcision of the heart, which is necessary, comes through the Spirit. The circumcision of the heart. And so when we're looking back, well, let's turn over here first so fast to Colossians chapter 2, and Brandon even read this this morning in his Lord's Supper meditation. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 11 and 12. Someone want to read that, please.
And in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead.
Okay. So Paul says to Christians here, you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, made with Christ, by Christ. Okay, it's the removal of the body. Now when it says removal of the body of the flesh there, it's not talking about a physical circumcision, but it's talking about the principle of dying. Our old man is dying. When we're buried in immersion, our old self dies. We're circumcised. It's cut off. The old man is dead, and we rise to walk in newness of life. It's the circumcision of the heart that's done in that by Christ. It's without hands, it says. It's not the physical circumcision. It's a circumcision that's necessary, but it's not the physical circumcision. And that was the foreshadow that the physical circumcision did give. And that was, I'm not saying that the Jews didn't have to be physically circumcised, but we're not going to go here today, but like Jeremiah chapter 9, the end of the chapter there, it talks about that those who were circumcised in the flesh were uncircumcised because they weren't circumcised in the heart. The Jews were no different. Jeremiah is writing at a time when the Jews are getting completely wiped out by Babylon because of their immorality and their giving into false gods. They're cheating on God, basically, their husband. And he's saying that they were circumcised, but they were uncircumcised. They're no different than the nations because they weren't circumcised in the heart. Now, there were people that the goal of that physical circumcision eventually, I mean, obviously, Abraham, I would say that he was circumcised in the heart. He had a good heart. Yes, he was circumcised in the flesh, but circumcision in the flesh doesn't take the place of being circumcised in the heart. Just because there's going to be a lot of Jews that aren't in heaven, a lot of Jews that aren't in heaven, because they weren't circumcised in the heart. All it was a law to them, and a check off the list, and they didn't have a relationship with God, because that's how it was. So Jesus or Paul is saying here that we are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, the removal of the body of the flesh, or the burying and the crucifixion of the old man, we are died to sin. We are no longer slaves to that person. And we rise to walk in newness of life. Turn over to back to Ephesians chapter 4. So when he says there, then walk no longer as the Gentiles walk. Okay, you used to be Gentiles. You are Gentiles in the flesh. You used to be Gentiles in the spirit, but now you're not Gentiles in the spirit. Now you are true Jews because you're circumcised of the heart. And that's the language that he's using there. So don't walk as the Gentiles walk in verse 17 in the futility of their mind. Turn back to Ephesians 2. Someone want to read 1 through 6, please, of Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, so Paul said he uses the past tense there. You were formerly walked. You were dead in verse 1. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You formerly walked according to the course of the world. And verse 3, among them we too all formerly walked in the lust of the flesh. So there's that desire of the flesh. And when we were immersed, that circumcision of the hands, made without hands, I'm sorry, the removal of the flesh, that killing of the old man, and resurrecting to walk in newness of life. See, we're circumcised in the heart, so we were formerly that way, but now we are not. Now we're not. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This kind of goes along with what was spoken earlier, you know, about the idea of if you want to say come as you are, but don't stay as you are. Okay, people can, I mean, obviously, and even the word come as you are isn't quite biblical either, because someone who doesn't want to be obedient to Christ is not going to come looking for truth. They aren't. Okay, so even the Holy Spirit works on people prior to them being in Christ, but there's only a certain amount that the Holy Spirit can do when someone's outside of Christ. But that leading to them, he can bring them and help them, now not by their own will, or not against their own will, I mean. They have to have their own will to do that. But he is, there's some of that that there are actually, that change is starting prior to them being in Christ. They're searching for something. Paul, when he's blinded on the road to Damascus, he didn't just stay, continue and go on. He could have very easily went and just, he had two other guys with him anyway. They could have went and still arrested and gave the orders that they had and went and fulfilled his duty as a Jew and just went on his way. But he'd been blind and he'd have been like, man, it must just be something that happened. Hopefully God heals me. But he had a change prior to that. And to say that he, you know, people say that he was converted on the road to Damascus isn't true, because his sins weren't forgiven until after he was in Damascus, when Ananias came and preached to him. Okay, so he is saying there that he had a first change, though. That repentance had to be there. So we were these in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So I want to read verse 9 through 11, please.
Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. and such were some of you before you were washed, but you were sacrificed or sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God.
So when he talks about in Romans 2, when we read before, that the circumcision of the heart was by the Spirit. That means by the authority of the Spirit, or by in the name. That's another way to say that. Okay. So it says here, you once were all of these in verse 11. You were such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit, or in the authority, or by the Lord Jesus Christ. The circumcision that was made without hands. By Christ. That's what he said. You were that, but now you're not. Turn to back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Someone read verse 1, please. Okay, so Paul writes to the saints in Ephesus. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Someone read verse 2, please. Okay, so saints by calling, those who are sanctified, as Paul says, we read a little bit later in 1 Corinthians, that you were this, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified. And Paul says at the beginning of the letter, those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. They are called saints. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And someone read verse 1 of Philippians chapter 1. Yes, please.
Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints of Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons.
Okay, so again, to all the saints who are in Philippi. See, a saint is not someone who is declared by a group of people after they die. If you want to get technical, I mean, you could say a saint is someone who has died, someone who has died to the old self, who have resurrected. See, saints by calling, and that's why, you know, we have a few baseball boys here. That is a theme behind our name of our baseball team. You know, we are saints. It's not something that we're still waiting to be. We are saints now. That's what Paul says. And it doesn't mean that we are... On the one hand, we're not going out and saying to people, we are better than you because we're saints. Because that's not what we're due. But spiritually, we do have something that the lost don't have. We are better off than the lost. We have something that they don't have. And if we don't have something that they don't have, why would they want to change? If we're just exactly the same as the rest of the world, if we look down upon people, if we have favorites, if we make people feel guilty or we think that they're not as good as anybody else or they're not worth saving, they're not going to they're not going to want to come to the truth. We approach it with a different attitude as we have something special, not because we did this many things and checked off the list that we can boast ourselves up in the flesh like the law did. That's what the Jews, they were circumcised. They didn't associate with those who were uncircumcised because they were higher. They couldn't even go into the house. We are spiritually circumcised and we're trying to help people. We have a message that people need to hear and that's what we're trying to communicate to them. On the one hand, we don't boast in ourselves to put them down, but on the other hand, we need to recognize that we are special to God. We are saints. And if we're saints, we are duty with the message with the task, as we talked about a little before in the sermon, this fellowship of participating and preaching the gospel to the lost. It's a duty, or you want to call it a duty, it's a task that we want to do to help others. It's not in a boastful way. So we can't go too far the opposite way and say, well, don't call ourselves saints, don't call us special because we don't want to give the wrong message. And I understand there's a way to go about that. But if we're not different than the world, why would someone want to even be what we are? We are saints, we're special because of what Christ has done for us. But we don't look down upon people. We want to help them. So we need to recognize who we are. And that word for saint, the Greek word actually means like someone who is sacred or holy. Okay, now that those terms are not usually thrown around a lot in the religious world. If they're thrown around, it's like, well, we can't be those. Because you hear the term a lot of time, we're just sinners. We talk about this a lot of times too. We're just sinners. And that attitude is where people, if they're only sinners and they're never going to achieve this up here, then there's never going to be a chance. Why even try to achieve this up here? But if we have the picture of ourselves, that we are saints, and through the help of the Holy Spirit, we can accomplish, and this applies, this goes to anything, this goes to our life as well, whether it be jobs or sports or whatever. If we already think that we're not going to accomplish something, we're not going to accomplish it because we already set in our mind that we're not going to do it. Unless we have a picture of ourselves that we can't accomplish that, even if there might be some mistakes along the way until we accomplish that, our goal isn't focused on what we can't do, but what we can. And that's the principle there. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I shouldn't even ask. I should just ask Brandon to read this because it's a favorite passage anyway. Galatians 3:27-29.
For all of you who were immersed in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to promise.
Okay, so if you think about it for a second, well, we'll kind of get to that in a second here. So all of us who are immersed in Christ were clothed with Christ. So you have that picture of you know, not that I like Halloween, but just for the sake of example, if the costume, okay? And you don't have to be in Halloween to have a costume on. But like if you're in a play, you know, you're a character, okay? You put a costume on. If you have a costume and you have a complete, you know, whether it's a I don't know what kind of costume, a lion or a dragon or whatever, some kind of knight or something. If you're, you know, people don't see the person if you have your armor and your shield down or whatever. They don't see who the person is. They see the knight. And that's that picture here. When we're immersed in Christ, we're clothed with Christ. Okay, we're clothed. And that's what people should see. It kind of goes back to that righteousness we talked about earlier. You know, and not just, and walking in the light, like doing the things that Christ would want us to do. But he says there's neither Jew nor Greek. This is talking physically here. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. So everyone's on an equal level. And we, you know, the slave nor free, it doesn't apply to us as much as we don't understand that culture. But put yourself in the culture where you had slaves, when you had a master and a slave who are Christians, as in Philemon and Onesimus' case, if you read in the book of Philemon. See, Onesimus was his slave, but in Christ they were equals. And Philemon shouldn't have, and I'm not saying he did, but it would have been wrong for Philemon to look down upon Onesimus because he was his master. Because they were all one in Christ. It didn't matter what they were outside. In Christ, they're all one. And at the end of the chapter there in Galatians 3, verse 29, if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And there's a lot more detail that we could go into there back in the chapter 3. But notice that he says at the end, like, we are Abraham's offspring. And what was, remember what the sign of the covenant was with Abraham? What was the sign of the covenant with Abraham? What was something that every male had to do? A circumcision. It's still true. It's not the fleshly circumcision, though. You have to be circumcised in the heart to be a part of Abraham's offspring. See, that foreshadow, it was a physical thing that they did for a time. It was something that to separate them from the rest of the world. When the nation of Israel, Abraham was the beginning of the nation of Israel. Okay, there was no nation of Israel prior to Abraham or when Abraham was alive. Because Isaac was born when he was old, and then Isaac had two sons, and then it was when Jacob had 12, and even then it wasn't no nation of Israel. I can't remember how many people went into Egypt, but it wasn't a nation. But they came out a nation. But the point is that they had the circumcision wasn't merely meant just to be a physical circumcision to carry on so people could boast in the flesh. It was a foreshadow of the covenant, because God made an everlasting covenant with Abraham, and the sign was circumcision. And those who were circumcised in the flesh, as Jeremiah tells us, as I mentioned before, weren't circumcised in the heart, and God destroyed them for it. So the circumcision of the flesh wasn't something that God was looking at just merely. Yeah, that needed to happen, but he was looking at the heart. It is true that the circumcision still is a sign of the covenant. And those who are in Christ are circumcised in the heart. That was the circumcision he wanted. See, Abraham didn't have to go out, didn't have to do any of that. He could have, the physical thing that he did, circumcised, shows that he was good in the heart. Shows that he was making a change in the heart. That's how it was then. And that's something that happens even now for us. I mean, we're not going to continue doing bad things physically if our heart has changed. But the source has to come first from the heart. I might even go out to say, is Abraham was circumcised in the heart before he was circumcised in the flesh? The flesh was just an outward sign of something. The circumcision of the heart was what he had. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So with that said, then that's telling us if we're looking at true Jews and true spiritual Jews and spiritual Gentiles instead of physical Jews and physical Gentiles, when we talk about the circumcision that is taking place in the heart, and we talk about things in the Old Testament when there's words like Israel or Jerusalem or his people, God isn't talking about the physical nation. In the prophecies of the Old Testament, there's a lot of things in the Old Testament written about the church when he uses the name Israel or Jerusalem or his people, his chosen people. There's a lot of things written about the church that's not talking about the Jews. And that all is possible because Jesus was a direct descendant of Abraham, and because Jesus was a direct descendant and we are in a spiritual covenant, we are immersed into his name, we are circumcised of the heart, we are a part of that. We are now spiritual Jews. In 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to start in verse 14 through 17. Someone want to read that, please.
For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf.
How far? Through 17, please.
Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come.
Okay, so Paul there writes, he talks about Christ. One died for all, therefore for all died. So those of us who are, if Christ died, we are united with him in death, in our immersion. We've died, we've crucified the old self. We've crucified the flesh. He says, he who died rose again on their behalf. Therefore, in verse 16, so the word therefore is there so people can look back and see what the word therefore is. Therefore is kind of the same. But therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. That's why Paul didn't call the Ephesians Gentiles. That's why he's saying, don't walk as the Gentiles do. The way he says that is saying, don't walk like they do, because you're not them. But even though they were physically Gentiles, he didn't recognize them according to their physical upbringing. He recognized them as their spiritual. They were spiritually Jews. So don't we no longer recognize men according to the flesh in verse 16? Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Yeah, they knew Jesus while he was on earth. They knew him according to the flesh. But we don't recognize him any longer. That's one of the biggest problems that I have, and a lot of us here, we have a problem with the crucifixes and the crosses and the focus on the physical Jesus. Because people are recognizing and sticking to the flesh. Mary Magdalene in John 20, when she's clinging to Jesus, he says, "Don't cling to me, I haven't ascended yet. Don't cling to the flesh," he says. See, people worship something physical. That's exactly what did the Jews say when they made the golden calf? Did they give some different name to that God? No, they said, "Behold, the God who brought us out of Egypt." They made a physical form of who they pictured in their mind, the God that brought them out of Egypt. It wasn't some false, it was a false God, but it wasn't Ra that they were worshiping. It wasn't Baal that they were worshiping. They were taking something physical and making it in their mind, this is the God who brought us out of Egypt. And that same thing happens when we sit and we, you know, and I don't like picking on the Catholics all the time, but that's kind of what they do, though. I mean, you watch the Catholic funeral, the dedicated ones, they'll come and they go out and they take their bow before the cross in the front. They're worshiping that. They're worshiping something physical. When they have the crucifixes on, and it's not just them. There's other religions that do the same thing. They cling to something physical. And so Paul is saying here, we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yes, he came in the flesh. He was in the flesh. He suffered and he died. But we don't recognize him this way thus longer, any longer. Because he's resurrected and glorified. So let's not recognize each other as that same thing according to the flesh. We're not recognizing as Gentiles. Paul didn't recognize the Ephesians. Even though they were Gentiles in the flesh, they weren't Gentiles in spirit. They were Jews in spirit. And that sums up in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5, that therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, the new things have come. He's a new creation. And that circumcision of the heart has taken place there. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're gonna touch on this more next week as well in this next verse here. Someone go ahead and read verse 18. We'll touch on it a little bit this week too. Okay, so Paul talking about those who are spiritually Gentiles here. You don't walk according to their, in the futility of their mind. And I should say, that word futility, the Greek word means emptiness or void or vanity. That's what it means, the emptiness of their mind is what he's talking about. So you don't, they're being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart. Now this is, turn over to 2 Corinthians 3 as we talk about this for a second. So this here, he's talking in the instance of, I don't think he's necessarily saying that all those people can't be saved. He's saying there are some that can't because, you know, we'll probably get into this more next week too, because Romans chapter 1 talks about those who have resisted and resisted and resisted and resisted, and God gave them over to what they wanted. And they're not going to be saved because, not because God can't, it's not because God is too weak, because they're never going to return. They're not going to want it. And really, in some ways, there are some things that God can't do. God, and because of his nature, God doesn't make us serve him. That's something that he can't do. That's not his nature. Because of what his nature is, he doesn't make us. He can't save someone who doesn't want to be saved. Yeah, so that is true that he can't do it. But it's not because he is too weak in that he can't accomplish the salvation. It's because they don't want to be saved. That's the point there. But anyway, so we're going here that the Paul hits this in a little different view, the way I kind of want to point this out. In verse 13 or 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if someone wants to read that, please. Okay, so this is talking about a time when Moses was before God on Mount Sinai, and he came down and his face shone, and the nation of Israel were worried about it, were scared of it. They didn't want him to, you know, they wanted him to talk to God because they were too terrified of God at the time. And so, but this is Paul is bringing this back to, or applying this here, and he says their minds were hardened. I mean, it wasn't that they were too scared to believe what God, they didn't want anything to do with him. Their minds were hardened. And he says, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. Why would that apply? Well, because the church is talked about in the Old Testament. Even at the reading, that's why the Jews didn't see it. They didn't think that Jesus had to come and die. Well, who good comes from Nazareth? Oh, the Messiah is a descendant of Abraham. This one's an illegitimate child. This Jesus is illegitimate because so-called Joseph was his father, and because they knew, they used that against him at times. Well, Mary was pregnant before she was even married. That's what they're saying. They didn't understand that who Jesus was, and how he had to come. They expected him different. So at the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil still remains because they can't see it. They don't want to see it. There's some that are darkened, their hearts are darkened, they can't see it, but there's a limited amount that we could understand before we are in Christ. Yes, God can, there's obviously that repentance that has to begin there, and that willingness or want to change, but no one's going to fully understand if they're not in Christ, because the veil is removed in Christ. That's what they're darkened, what Paul says in Ephesians 4. They have the futility of their mind. Don't walk according to that way. Their understanding is darkened. We don't walk like that because they don't understand. They walk blindly. That veil is removed in Christ. They can't understand outside of Christ. The veil is removed in Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Kind of close out here. Romans chapter 6. Someone want to read verse 3 through 7 of Romans chapter 6, please.
For do you not know that all of us who have been immersed into Christ Jesus have been immersed into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through immersion into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin.
Okay, so talking about becoming a new creature, talking about not walking as according to someone who is darkened in their mind, and the veil is removed in Christ. That veil that's over the heart that's shielding them understanding is removed in Christ. That veil is that we're slaves to sin. That old self, he says, in that we were buried in it, we were united with him in his death and immersion. We were buried in immersion into his death, so we were raised up. And when that what that burial is we crucified the old self. That the body of sin might be done away with in verse 6. We should be no longer slaves to sin, but we are free. He who has died is free from sin. And so that circumcision that we have of the heart is removing that. We are someone different. We are not walking blindly as the Gentiles walk. Every one of us here is a Gentile in the flesh. We're not Jews. But in the spirit, though those who are in Christ are spiritually Jews. And that's why Paul talked to them. Don't walk as a Gentiles. You're not Gentiles. You're Jews because you're circumcised in the heart. Because you've been buried in in immersion in Christ and die to the old self and rise to walk in newness of life, that circumcision that's without hands is took place. And we're going to talk a little bit more as we go on to Ephesians 4 a little more next week about what that, about in a little more detail of that being diluted in the mind a little bit and how those people are and how we need to watch out for that for ourselves for sure. But that the idea is that we don't walk it in that way because we're someone better. We're not just forgiven sinners. We're not people who have been forgiven and we're just going to keep doing what we're doing and all keep going and going and going how we normally do, because that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We are special because we are saints. Because God has done that for us. Yes, it's our participation in that, sure. But God, we couldn't do it without God. And God is the one who circumcised in the heart, and God is the one who made that happen. So we can't sit and say that we're basically calling God a liar if we're saying, no, we're not saints. Because he does call us saints. We are special. Not to be gloating or boastful, but we are special because we have something special. And we have life in Christ. Anybody have any comments on anything today? Okay, well, we'll pick up in Ephesians 4 next week.